The lesson is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants."' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You can take that back with you.
Okay.
Wonderful. Well, I have a few minutes to share some thoughts on the weekend and also as a farewell to Danny. We've been looking at what being a risk-taking church, a risk-taking disciple is like. And our risk-taking God, who through the story, that well-known story that Lydia's just read to us of the prodigal son, shows us the scale and sheer audacity of God's love for us, that while we were still far off, he came to meet us in his son. Then we looked at risk-taking disciples, and in particular the way Peter takes this immense risk of getting out of the boat to try and walk on water. And finally, we looked at what being a risk-taking church would look like by looking at Acts chapter 2. There's so much to reflect on. I rather feel like I felt after the amazing paella last night, and I confess, I did try 3 out of 4. And I finished off my wife's. Yeah, so anyway, it was absolutely delicious. So I felt rather bloated after that meal, and I felt spiritually rather bloated after all the incredible teaching we have. And it will all go online, and I'll send you all links. We were so immensely blessed by Paul and Christine Perkin. So this is, as I said, Danny's last service here at BPC as our curate. I was going to say his last service here at BPC, and I thought, no, we might invite him back one day. He might even be called back here when I retire. You never know. And I've been reflecting that this weekend has been a wonderful time of spiritual preparation for him as he crosses this threshold of being a curate to being an incumbent and running his own church at Loudwater. But first, is Ali here in the service? You here, Ali? Yes, you're here. Fantastic. So I just wanted to say to Ali that whilst there's a lot of farewell Danny going on, we are so grateful to you for your ministry here, and in particular, the way you've supported Danny. I remember people asking Lucia what her calling was when we arrived here 9.5 years ago. And I think people perhaps were hoping, expecting her to say, well, I'm going to take over running this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to sort all that out, and I'm going to serve in such and such a ministry. But in fact, her answer was, well, my calling first and foremost is to be a mother to our family, and then it is to support Will in his ministry. So thank you from the bottom of all of our hearts for releasing Danny to be the amazing curate that he has been. Now, I can't see her. She's at ground level with the children, but I'm relying on people going like that to say that she's here. Now, a curacy, for me at least as a training incumbent, is an apprenticeship. Nothing more, nothing less. You help. Whether that's, just like the old days apprenticeship, in the carpenter's apprentice, Jesus would have done this, swept the floor, picked up the wood shavings, buying communion bread on your way in on a Sunday morning, mopping up the floor, I saw him last Sunday, setting up, setting down, getting your hands dirty. And then you watch everybody, but in particular, you watch the training incumbent. You've watched me lead, you've watched me preach, you've watched me administrate, you've watched me encourage, discipline, marry, bury, and baptize. Then you have done all those things with me watching you. And in what can be quite vulnerable moments, you've had to pore over the entrails of what you've done and listen to the feedback. And then you've been let loose to do all those things on your own, unsupervised, and adjust them with your own experience and with a wonderful team of retired clergy here, incorporate what you've seen them do into what you then do. And what I've really loved about Danny is I've seen him incorporating. So, for example, some of his mannerisms and the way he does things in Holy Communion, I know he's picked up off from Morris. And I thought to myself, I quite like that. And so I've then done it myself. So it's been a whole circle, and I've been learning from you as well. But you've been a great apprentice. You've been so teachable. You've been so willing to learn, and with no prickliness. I've loved every single moment of it. There's never been a crossword, never a hurt that hasn't immediately been sorted out. Hours and hours spent together, and you've always been so loyal and full of integrity. And I know that cricket isn't one of your sports. One of the few sports that isn't one of his sports, but you've always played with a very straight bat. There's been no two-facedness. It's what you see is what you get, and we love that, Danny. Always smiles, always laughter, that shrug of the shoulders. And you can judge how you feel about a colleague. When the phone goes and the name comes up on the screen, does your heart lift? Oh, I'm looking forward. Or does it go, oh my goodness, press the I'm out, I'll call you back later type of thing. And Danny, I was going to say when the doorbell rings, of course it doesn't ring in our house because staff team just walk into our house because the front door's never locked. But when I hear the dog barking and I hear you saying hello to Tarka, my heart has always risen. I always have looked forward to seeing you. I know that in years to come, I will be immensely proud to look at your ministry, Danny, to see how God has been using you, and so grateful that God has used me in these last 3.5 years to play a small part in helping to form who you are now. So, Danny, from this weekend's teaching do I think God wishes you in particular to take to heart? Remember the prodigal son. Remember that father's love and always look at the lost like that, because there will be many, many lost people in Loudwater. When you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you have worked more than your contracted hours in that week, and the phone goes, and or there's some drama, or somebody knocks on your door, remember that Father's love, that while we were still far off, he came to meet us in his Son. We heard of the Father kind of like scanning the horizon with binoculars. And the Father just wasn't just sitting back waiting for the Son to come home. The Father was out there seeking out his lost Son. Imagine him there scanning every morning the distant hills, waiting for that precious Son to come back with his binoculars, and then rushing out to go and meet him. Remember that. Don't sit back, Danny. Be out there seeking to save the lost. That is your mission. That is the mission at St. Peter's Loudwater, and it is our mission here. Remember, Danny, that churches can become comfort zones. It's all too easy. I mean, I've done my best to change the very comfortable upholstered chairs in here for less comfortable ones. But be ready to get out of the boat and start water walking. Lead by example. We are all fearful of getting out of that boat and walking on water. But we heard about Peter's attempt at water walking. Of course, in human terms, he failed, didn't he? His fears and his doubts took over, and he sank. But actually, he wasn't the failure. It was the 11 dry disciples who were still in the boat. They were the failures, because they didn't have the guts to get out of the boat and take a risk. So, if we are afraid of failing, and my ministry here, as many of you know, has been strewn with failures, but we will never grow. Danny, don't lead passively. Be prepared to take risks, and know that in a church, every act of progress will be opposed, most often by people with only the best intentions. So model being a risk-taking disciple. Lead a PCC that is prepared to take risks, like the wonderful PCC here. Never plan for a budget surplus. Always plan for a deficit, trusting that the Lord will cover that. Remember that faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Danny, make sure that St. Peter's is no ordinary fellowship. We heard talk in Acts chapter 2. Look at the fellowship that's modeled there. Dare I say, look at the fellowship that we model here at BPC. It was a great party last night. A quiz, skits, beer, and by the way, there's half a keg of the most delicious Spitfire ale left over, which has to go today. And we have fun. We hang out. Don't settle for anything other than being an extraordinary fellowship. And then do not have ordinary expectations. Earnestly desire and expect signs and wonders. Just a little soupçon of that from Brian. He's tried everything in human terms to get 2 volunteers. And then he's at the seminar and he says, I need some volunteers. And 2 people, you know, it's just God's perfect timing, his perfect supply for our needs. Encourage spiritual gifts. Never stop praying for healing and for miracles. Be a church equipped with no ordinary power. And remember that this will only happen through prayer and battle in the heavenlies. And Danny, you will need that power personally. You will leak that power. You will be using it daily, day in, day out. So keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Guard your time with the Lord, your Bible reading, your devotional time, and your prayer time. And get a group like the Lord has blessed me with. They come once a week early in the morning, and we pray for everybody, but I know they always pray for me. People you can trust to pray for you and lift you up daily to the throne room of God. Now, these encouragements and exhortations, of course, are not just for you, but they are for all of us here. And Danny, you leave us with all our love, all our prayers, and all our blessings. Thank you, and thank you, Ali, for pouring yourselves out into this community and for modeling God's unconditional love as you adopted your precious children. Thank you for preaching, which has enriched our lives beyond measure. I don't know about you, I have loved sitting under Danny's teaching. It's kept me awake. I have the attention span of a newt. And I'm afraid I can sit for the most incredible, eloquent, well thought out, theologically brilliant sermon, and I will fall asleep after 10 minutes unless it's engaging. And my attention has never wandered in your sermons, Danny. You have a unique gift of communication. But most of all, Danny, thank you for being such a good and loyal friend. I am having to look down now. We shall all miss you immensely, but we're rooting for you and we'll hold you in our prayers. May the love of God, of the Father, enfold you. The wisdom of the Spirit enlighten you. The fire of the Spirit inflame you. And may the blessing of the triune God rest upon you, Ali, and your family, and abide with you now and evermore. Amen. Thank you. Danny, have you got anything to say to us?
I feel like I probably should, given the circumstances. Can I just say, when you're a little bit emotional and you're saying goodbye to people, a social situation where every single person stands before you one at a time is not helpful when you're trying not to cry. Can I just assure you of that? Honestly, I'll keep this short and sweet, which is very rare for me, as anyone that's been here longer than 5 minutes will know. One point message, and the one point is this: thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a wonderfully loving and welcoming and caring and praying church family for me to serve my curacy in. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed my 3 and a bit years being your curate. It's been a real joy to me that when I've met with curate friends and they've been sharing their niggles with their curacies, I've been able to honestly say to them, I love my curacy, I love Buckingham, I love this church, and I love my training incumbent. And for me, that has been, that's just meant the world. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a wonderful church family. And my prayer is that every person that comes to this church will be loved and receive the welcome and care that I have and Alison and our children have. So thank you so much for that. I'm not going to make the mistake of getting into a list because I've seen the hard way watching Will do this a few times that only leads to trouble. But as well as thanking especially the staff team, all those people on staff I've served with during my time here, you're all fantastic, wonderfully gifted people. It's been a privilege to serve God alongside you as a ministry team. I do want to especially thank Will, and I'm going to really try not to crack up. I'm not good with tears. So, Will, I really want to thank you for being the most incredible and inspirational vicar for me to serve my curacy under. You've inspired me in all sorts of ways. I hope as a church we're unbelievably thankful to have Will as the leader of this church. He'd be the first to admit he's not perfect and he's not Jesus Christ. But the one thing I've learned about Will is he has a massive heart and he loves you so much more than you even realize. And I've enjoyed the benefit of being loved and cared for by Will since I've been here. Will's been a model to me in all sorts of ways. Will's modeled a real dependence on prayer, not least this morning when he texted me saying, I'm praying about what I should say in my talk. I thought, that takes guts and that takes a level of faith I still don't have. So you've modeled prayer to me. Will, I really appreciate the way that you pursue excellence, that you don't settle for doing things half-heartedly. You believe as a church, as we worship God, we should do our very best to honor and glorify Jesus. And I think even the past weekend has been an example of how we've done our best to serve God and pursue excellence in how we do that. Will, I really appreciated the fact that you're a humble and secure enough leader to allow me to lead this church alongside you for 3 years, that you've not been threatened by me or ever been defensive, that you've actually given me space and encouraged me to grow and to use my gifts and to develop those. So I really want to say thank you to you, Will, for all the time you've given me and for the love that you've shown me and Alison and our whole family. So can you help me thank Will by giving him a round of applause?